24th Psalm this morning. One verse, and that is just the first verse. One of those strange passages of Scripture. Verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war, and my fingers to fight. Of all the things that the psalmist is praising God for, he's praising God for the ability to fight. I don't know about you, but I try to avoid fights in life. I know there's some people that they like fights, but I try to avoid fights. I've always been one to try to avoid fighting. But when the psalmist used these words, he wasn't talking about a war with a bow, an arrow, or a war with a sword, or a battle that's fought with a slingshot. He goes much deeper than all of that. I think that he penned these words in the midst of one of the greatest struggles, spiritual struggles, that he had ever encountered in his life. And he said, Lord, the only way that I'll win this war is if you help me in the battle. Life is filled with battles, struggles. One struggle right after another. Seems like you'll go through one thing and there'll be something else that's there. I read this week and I'd like to read it to you. I guess it probably typifies what life is all about. When the writer said, your world is dark, safe and secure. You do nothing for yourself. You're automatically fed and waited upon. You meet no pain and no threats. It's a fine existence. One day you feel a tug and the walls are falling in on you. Your body is bent double. Your limbs twisted and wrenched. You're falling upside down. For the first time in your life, you feel pain. There's a pressure that's almost too intense to bear. Your head is squeezed flat and you're pushed even harder and harder into a dark tunnel. You hurt all over. You hear groaning sounds and an awful fear rushes in on you. Your world is collapsing. You're sure it's the end. You see a piercing, blinding light and cold, rough hands pull at you. Then a painful slap bombards you and all of a sudden you let out with a scream. Your birth was filled with trials. And beyond that, I jotted this down. You went through a trial when you came into this world. Your mother went through a trial bringing you into this world. And your father went through a trial paying for it. You start life with a battle. You'll end life with a battle. And everything from the time you start until the time you end will be battles. I think that too many people come to the Lord thinking that it is an escape from all the trials and all the battles that there are in life. But we're not exempt from battles. Really doesn't matter what we're going through this morning. The blessed thought of all of it for the child of God is thank God we're going through it. We're not staying in it. But when spiritual struggles come, they'll do three things to you. And there will be struggles whether you're saved or lost. The first thing it will do to you is it will cause you to doubt the will of God. When trouble comes and struggle comes, the first thing that happens is we'll begin to question God's love and compassion and question our own ability. And we'll begin to wonder, God, how am I going to make it through this thing? So you'll begin to doubt the will of God. And when you doubt the will of God, suddenly you begin to doubt the existence of God and the help of God in our time of need. There is a will of God for all of our lives. And God knows tomorrow as well as we know yesterday. And the worst thing you can ever do is get yourself in a position where a struggle comes that causes you to doubt that God is on His throne and that God has a purpose for your life. If you're here and lost this morning, God does have a purpose in your life. What is the will of God? It's the will of the Father that none should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. It's the will of God for you to be saved. Christian, God has a will for your life. How do you get in a war like that? Well, usually blessings come. God sends blessings through people. And oftentimes, God reminds us that Satan sends struggle through people as well. It's funny what relationships can do to you concerning the will of God. Young person, you need to know this. Every time you date, they could one day be your mate. Whoever you marry, you'll date. And if it is the right person, it will support the will of God. And if it's the wrong person, it will pull you away from the will of God. And God uses people oftentimes to try to support us. But if you're not careful, you'll start drawing away from those that want to help you. And instead, you'll start going toward those that wish to destroy you. They create doubt. The second thing it does, it will destroy your faith. You can lose trust in people, but don't ever lose faith in God. Faith must not only stand the test of time, it must stand the test of battles. And real faith is not when everything is going well and everything is all right. Real faith comes when everything has fallen apart and you say, I still believe God and I still trust God and I believe God will bring me through this. That's real faith. You may not understand the trials, but you're still to stand under the trials. A young man decided to get in the business of raising peaches. He invested his entire life savings in a peach crop. Finally, it reached the point where the money was just about out. And the first potential crop was coming on. And a frost hit. Killed all the peaches. After all the peaches were killed, he quit coming to church. The pastor would try to contact him and he would avoid him. And the deacons would make calls and he would avoid them. And people in the church would contact him and he would avoid him. And finally, one day the preacher, just persistent, tracked him down and said, what's wrong? He said, I had faith in God. I put everything that I owned into that peach crop. And God let the peaches freeze. And I lost everything. And he looked at him and said, son, you've got to understand, God's not concerned about growing peaches. He's concerned about growing Christians. Sometimes when those trials come, it's to help us grow. You will never grow spiritually in the good times. You will always grow when there is a force fighting against you, where sometimes you have to cling by faith and hold to the hand of God. But hold on, my friend, it is worth it. Don't lose faith in God. The third thing it'll do, spiritual struggles will try to deplete the Word of God. Did you know from the parable of the sower, the Lord taught us, the more seed you scatter, the more birds come in. You see what I'm saying? When you start scattering the seeds, it stirs the birds up. And the birds come with one purpose. And what is that? To get the seed. In that parable, what is the seed? The seed is the Word of God. So if he can somehow deplete the Word of God and rob the Word of God from you, then you'll not have the strength that you need to make it through the struggle. You check this out. Every time you go to a spiritual low in your life, the first thing that you'll stop doing, almost always, the first thing is you'll stop reading your Bible faithfully and committing the Word of God to your memory and withdraw from the Word of God. Because the devil knows if the seed is planted, the Word of God is stronger than any force that comes into our life, any situation that comes into our life. Therefore, the devil is out to get the Word. Because if he gets the Word from out of your heart and out of your mind and out of your spirit, he knows that it cannot grow up and give you the strength and nourishment that you need. So he'll deplete the Word. We stand on the brink of the new year, and I encourage everyone under my voice, set a goal that if you read at a moderate pace, to read the Bible through this year. You'd be amazed how many Christians sit in churches that have never read the Bible through one time, not one time. You'd be amazed how many preachers have not read the Word of God through one time. How can we tell people what it says if we never read it ourselves? If you're a slow reader and you can only read a verse a day, then read a verse a day. If you can't read, get the Bible on cassette and listen to a chapter a day. But I'm saying the more the Word of God bombards us, it is true that the birds will come, but our defense is in the Lord. And we need God's Word more than ever before in this generation. Barna just released his 7 most surprising statistics in the church. I was shocked at some of them. One thing that I found out, did you know the divorce rate is just as high in the church as it is in the world? How can that be? You want me to tell you why? This is not being preached. And it's not being read. And I've got news for you. You can't get enough of this in 3 services a week. You need it every day. You need to start your day off with it. You need to go. And by the way, if you're lost and you're seeking the Lord, the best thing you can do is start reading. If you have doubts about whether or not you can be saved and know that you're saved, go to 1 John, right before Revelation. The 3 epistles of John, then Jude, and Revelation, right in the back of your Bible. It's a short book. Look how many times the word no appears in that one book. God's saying through His Word, He said, I've written these things that you may know that you have eternal life. If you do what the book says, God will bless you. But what's happening is we're taking this out of the pulpits and we're taking it out of the classrooms, and suddenly we're alleviating all of that to try to find some type of sensationalism that will keep people coming to church, and it'll never work. If we try to run this church on sideshows, every sideshow we have, we'll have to have a better sideshow to top it the next time. The strength of the church is not measured by special services. The strength of the church is measured by normal services. If there has to be something wonderful going on and fireworks to get you into church every time that you come to church, then there's a spiritual problem in your heart. I didn't come today because someone special is going to sing or preach. I love all of our singing and all of our preachers here in the church, but most important of all, I come because the Word of God says to come. It will deplete the Word of God. There are 4 ways that you declare an act of war. You declare it. If our country goes into war, sooner or later the president, our commander-in-chief, has to declare an act of war. He goes to Congress, says we need to declare an act of war. Goes to the Senate, we need to declare an act of war. There's 4 things, and these are the 4 things people do not do simply because they don't want to get in the battle. But listen to me. You're going to get in the battle whether you do these 4 things or not. But the only thing that's going to get you through the battle is doing these 4 things. What are they? First of all, giving. I don't preach a lot about giving. You ought to have sense enough to know you ought to give to God. Amen? It's not even up for question. You need to give to the Lord. Thank all 3 of you for the amen. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Our whole life is not about us, it's about others and about the work of God. And the more we give, the more God blesses us. And if you don't believe that, you try it and see if it's not right. It's hard to outgive God. No other way around it. Last week, God dealt with my heart about trying to help some people in need. And I gave just all that I could give. This week, there came a check in the mail from something I didn't even know that I owned, that I made money on. I'm just telling you. A company wrote me and said, listen, you were part of our company and we've made some changes in the company and therefore here's what you get. And guess what? It was more than what I gave. Giving. But when you start giving, the devil will certainly fight you with that. He says, hey, that's an act of war. You give time to that church out there. You've declared war. I'm going to fight you. You'll find out as soon as you start giving, all kinds of things will happen. If you give your money, the first thing will happen, the refrigerator will break down. The television will blow up. You'll get assessed charges on your bank account. They'll forget to add a deposit into your bank account. I tell you, God was given so much to Candy and I. The other day we went to the bank and they even gave us money from somebody else's account. I had to go back and say, we appreciate it, but it's not ours. We saw it. We wished it was ours, didn't we, honey? But we didn't covet. We gave it back. But when you declare to give, you'll start, well, you start giving of your time and you start doing things for God and you start working around the church, you'll find out as you give, you'll declare war. The enemy will fight you. But the greatest blessings come through that giving. Not only giving, but very quickly, worshiping. When you start worshiping, I mean really praising God, watch out. Can I prove it to you? Many of you that have never been blessed to the point where you just had to get up and express it some way, when it happens, I want to warn you ahead of time, okay? When you get on your feet, you don't know what you're going to say or what you're going to do. And you get on your feet, and you may act like a raving maniac. And the second that you finish worshiping and sit down, guess who's waiting on you? Do you know how stupid you looked? You ever get that feeling after you stand up? You get that feeling like everybody in the church is staring at you like you're an idiot. And you'd be amazed how many people never worship God again because of that. Well, I've got news for you. I already know I'm a raving idiot. Folks act like a maniac and everything else except when they come to church and they think for some reason we don't have a right to worship God. Why don't we have the right to worship God? But when you start worshiping the Lord, you'll find out the battle's on. Rosie loved to run the aisle, and the devil said, I'll cripple her till she can never walk again. But God brought her through and she can run the aisles again. I'm saying when you make your mind up, you mark it down, the devil will try to fight you some way to stop you from praising the Lord. Your way of worshiping God may be nothing more than sitting there and weeping. And all of a sudden, the devil will say to you, look at you, you're a full-grown man. Don't you know that men's not supposed to weep? You know what you ought to tell him? Devil, I've got every right to weep. I'd rather weep here and shout in glory as to shout on this earth and go to the place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Thank God God's delivered us from sin and give us the hope of heaven. We have every right to worship God. I'm sick to death of watching the devil destroy our churches. And the fire's gone out, folks. I got a call from 3 churches this week. Right now I'm beating 3 churches off our door. All 3 churches say the same thing. Preacher called me aside. Said, I don't want you shouting anymore. Can you imagine that? Somebody said, What do you think's wrong, preacher? I said, they're backslid. Well, they wanted to hear that. They said, what do you think I ought to do? I said, I'm thinking about coming out to the church. I said, nope, that's not what you ought to do. I said, what do you think you ought to do? I said, I think you ought to pray the Holy Ghost down on him. Pray until he gets so caught up in himself that he doesn't know what to do. I was in a service not long ago. Some of you were with me. One of our fundamental churches, a holiness church. And I preached and some old saint of God got happy and come up front and started shouting and others gathered around. And in the middle of all of it, the pastor took an offering. Forget the offering.
If we forget an offering today because the Spirit falls on us, so be it. We'll make it up whenever we get a chance to. Amen? God will take care of us. We need God's blessing and God wants our praise. Worshiping. Young people need to worship God. Adults need to worship God. Never take that for granted. But when you do, you'll declare war. Witnessing. Number three, witnessing. When you start witnessing, you'll declare war. He'll come against you with everything he's got. Poor old Brother Forrest gets his call to preach. He stands, he preaches. God has healed him. He's been doing really well with the things, especially knowing the things that we know and that Cora knows. It's a miracle that he's with us. But the first thing that happens when he begins to witness is he starts saying, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make it so you can't talk above a whisper. That crazy devil. Don't he know Forrest witnesses more by his life than what he'll ever be able to say? He may not be able to say a word, but Wayne, when he walks through the back doors, that's testimony enough that God's still on the throne and that God's in control, and we don't go anywhere until God says it's time for us to go. Let the devil rage against us. Thank God we know who has everything under control. Giving, worshiping, witnessing, and praying. I found an obituary. It says this: Mrs. Prayer Meeting died recently at the First Neglected Church on Worldly Avenue. Born many years ago in the midst of great revival, she was one of the most influential members of the church family. For the past several years, Mrs. Prayer Meeting has been failing in health. At the last, she was but a shadow of her former self. Her last whispered words were inquiries concerning the absence of her loved ones. Now busy in the markets of trade and places of worldly amusement. Experts, including Dr. Works, Dr. Reform, and Dr. Joyner, all agreed as to the cause of her fatal illness. They had administered large doses of organizations and socials, but to no avail. A post-mortem autopsy showed that a deficiency of spiritual food, coupled with a lack of faith and general support, were contributing causes. Only a few were present at her death. In honor of her going, the church doors will be closed on Wednesday nights. Sad to say, but that obituary could be posted in many churches in America today. Isaac Newton penned these words in his journal. I can take my telescope and look millions of miles into space, but I can go away in my room and in prayer, get nearer to God than I can when assisted by all of the telescopes on earth. Isn't that something? You can go to Africa this morning. Did you know that? You can go all the way over to Afghanistan this morning. You can go down the road to a house this morning. Over at Portsmouth this morning. You can travel the entire nation this morning and around the globe and never leave your closet. How can I do that? Through prayer. A little boy was trying to move a large rock in the front yard, and he kept trying to move, and he mustered all the strength that he could, and he worked and he worked and he worked, and finally after he'd worked so long, he looked at his dad and said, I can't move it. He said, sure you can. He said, son, have you used all the strength you have? Yes, Dad, I've used all my strength. He said, no, you haven't. He said, you haven't asked me yet to help you. That's the power of prayer. Adrian Rogers, one of the greatest statements I ever heard him make, he said this, the prayer that gets to heaven is the prayer that starts at heaven. Whatsoever things you bind on earth are bound in heaven. Whatsoever things you bind in heaven are bound on earth. It's a reverse principle. We start by going to the Lord, which is able to help us. Now, here's the problem, and I'm going to close with this, but I want you to listen. Oh, God gave me a glorious thought this week. I was thinking about this, and the biggest battle you face is when you pray and when you pray and when you pray, the battle gets stronger and the battle gets harder. Some of you, you've been praying, even unsaved, you've been praying some way that you could just get to the place where you could step out and accept the Lord. But the the battle gets harder, and seems like the more you try to do, the harder it gets. And you've been praying, but you've not been praying the right kind of prayer this morning. Your prayers have all been on this earth. You haven't started in heaven. And Christians have gone through trials and struggles, and you're praying and you're praying and you're praying and you're praying, and it just seems as though you can't get anywhere. And some of you would have to say, I've prayed, and I haven't heard from God. Some of you Christians say, I've prayed and I haven't heard from heaven. What's wrong? Listen, don't you know a teacher never talks while the test is going on? Hallelujah. Every one of you been in school and you get a test. The teacher don't stand and talk the whole time you take the test. The teacher monitors the situation, but the teacher doesn't utter a word while that test is going on. But after the test has been given, oh, bless God, after the test is gathered in and the reports are marked down, the teacher has the final results, and that's when the teacher will say something. Let me say to you this morning, if you're going through a trial, Christian friend, just because you haven't heard from heaven, just means the test is still going on. God says, make the grade. Trust in God. Stay in His will. Have faith in God. Believe God's word, and God will bring you through the test. Starts with battles and it ends with battles. I guess the determining factor will be this morning when we enter New Year's that we just want things to happen for chance and just be status quo. Or will we declare war on the enemy? Lord, teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Help me to understand. I'll come through the test. Will you stand this morning with me, Brother Howard? Come. We're going to stand. We're going to sing together.